This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to Sci-Fi and Squeam. On tonight's show, I will be talking exclusively to director Nicolas Goldbart from Argentina, whose film Phase 7 is to screen here in Melbourne for the closing night of Monday, the 25th of April, as part of the La Mirada Film Festival held at ACME. It's the only screening?
Yeah, it's the closing.
It's the closing night, the closing isn't it? Night, yeah. So welcome to Sci-Fi and Squeam, and also welcome to Australia, Nicolas.
Thank you very much.
How are you feeling?
I'm fine, thank
you. You're fine? When did you arrive?
The night before last night. I've been walking around, beautiful city.
It's beautiful in this weather. Now, of course, the first question I have, you must get this all the time, and that is something our listeners will want to know, and that is briefly, what is Phase 7 about?
Phase 7 is a comedy about the end of the world. It's about a couple who they are waiting for their first child. Something, a virus, it's going on outside of the building, and they have to stay inside for, you know, forever.
Forever. Yeah,
forever. So things start to get worse outside, and the neighbors are beginning to get nervous about no food and no water and everything. And it's about surviving the end of the world, basically. It's a comedy about that.
I've watched it. I've been allowed to watch it. So it's very interesting. I wondered if it is a reaction to some of the political situations in Argentina a few years back with the huge financial problems, or more about the H1N1.
It's more about the H1A1. You know, maybe there is something there about the financial crisis, but it's more about what happened with the pork flu in Argentina. Was something big because what happened, it was winter, so everybody was really afraid about what could happen.
Yes,
and nothing happened at the end, but you know, people die. We have more death because of regular flu than the pork flu. The pork flu was like just another flu. The media made a big deal. At the same time, it was very stupid because we had a soccer final match and
nobody
went to see the match. You know with the
with masks.
Yeah, but they saw it anyway, and we had elections and everybody went to vote, and things were really crazy. So that's the kickstart.
Yeah, you know, the inspiration. Yeah. Okay. Now, Phase 7 in the Latin American media that I noticed online has been described as a combination between a black comedy, an apocalyptic terror, urban western, even with references to John Carpenter, science fiction, and action cinema. Was that deliberate? Like, did you mesh all those styles together deliberately?
Well, not at the beginning. When I wrote the script at the beginning, I wanted to just keep all the movie inside the apartment, you know. But all those things just came to me because it's what I like. It's like I couldn't help it. So it wasn't the first idea, you know. It was something that came up with the writing, and it's what I like, you know. I love John Carpenter and westerns and genre films. So it's something that I couldn't help it, you know. It's there because it's my film. So
it's an awesome film, I have to say, and to me it feels like a cross between a serious sort of dystopic science fiction and definitely a western. It reminds me a bit of like a Sergio Leone film, but set in an apartment building.
I love Leone movies, and yes, at the end it ends being a western, you know.
Very much.
It's a buddy movie also. The two characters, the main character and the neighbor are at the end are like I don't know, like Tuco and Blondie in The Good, the Bad and the Ugly, you know. They are like, it's a buddy movie at the end.
Yeah, interesting. The cast are brilliant. You've got Daniel Hendler as the lead, as Coco, and I hope I said that right. He's pretty much what I've called a slacker type of character.
Yeah.
He's quite pathetic, but he's normal. And then you've got his pregnant, is it his wife or partner or girlfriend?
No, it's wife.
Actually his wife, Pippi, played by Jasmine Stewart.
Yeah.
And they just seem oblivious to the emerging chaos around them. And you also have the wonderful Federico Lupi. How did you find these actors and getting someone like Lupi on board? Was that hard?
No, really, because I gave him the script. I thought, well, he will say no, but I will
try anyway.
So he said yes.
Yeah, cool.
And at one point, I was shooting the movie with Federico Lupi, and I couldn't believe it, but he was there. Yeah. So that wasn't harder. Daniel and Jasmine, they're friends of mine, so I knew them before. So
That's great. He's one of my favorite Latin American actors, I reckon, Lupe. I saw him in one of Del Toro's films, Cronos.
Yeah, and you know? The other one.
Brilliant. About... He was in Pan's Labyrinth as well.
Yes, and also in the one with the kids, or with the devil, you know, with the one with the bomb in the school.
Oh, the one about the Spanish Civil War.
Yeah, that one.
Devil's Backbone.
Yeah, because I don't know the name in English.
Okay. I bet it sounds better in Spanish.
Yeah, now, El espinazo del diablo.
Say that again.
El espinazo del diablo.
Beautiful. Now, I want to ask you quickly about the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Now, as I was sitting through it, the soundtrack just started to become, for me, probably the most amazing part of the film in a way, because it just sort of absorbs everything around every scene. And it reminded me again of a John Carpenter, early John Carpenter film like Halloween, and a little bit of, say, Dario Argento, Goblin. What were your influences there?
No, that's the influence, because when I began to work with the music, I told him I wanted that kind of feeling, you know, in the music. So I want synths, and we work with. I did the editing with Carpenter, with a Carpenter soundtrack, with the soundtrack of They Live, and also some themes of Escape from New York. And then when I got to the point of making the music, I show him. I gave to the musician a copy of the film with that music, and we tried to reach to some point.
Similar.
Yeah, and also Goblin from the Argento films was like a reference.
Very remote on the mood.
Yeah, but we tried to make it more like if we were working in a Carpenter film, you know, the sound should sound like if you are watching a Sean Carpenter movie. It's the kind of films that I like, so I want to.
Which brings
to have
me
that.
To probably to ask you one of the obvious questions. Can you tell us some of your very favorite horror or science fiction films?
Yeah, well, I like The Thing, you know, Sean Carpenter's The Thing, and They Live also, and Escape from New York. And I like, there is a movie called Phase 4. It's a Saul Bass film.
Oh, right.
It's about an invasion of ants from another world.
Phase
4.
Phase 4. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
There is an invasion of ants. The film is made.
Hilarious.
It's almost all stop motion.
Okay.
It's crazy.
It's a very crazy
film. It's the only film he directed.
Because he was a graphic artist for Hitchcock films,
the opening sequences of Hitchcock. This one is the only one he did.
Have to look that up.
It's very very strange film. It's two guys inside a lab, and they start to communicate with the ants with the mathematical language
equations. Yeah.
And it's surreal.
Sounds bizarre.
It's surreal. It's very bizarre, but it's very good. And I like also a film called The Andromeda Strain.
That's a classic. Definitely
and
a sci-fi.
Maybe
classic.
Those are my favorite. I like Argento.
And
I like all kinds of genre films. You know?
Now, before I let you go, there was something I was wanted to tell Sci-Fi and Scream listeners, and that is if you can tell us of what sort of film projects you have coming up in the future, if you can talk about it. If not, don't worry.
I don't know, really. I have a script, but it's a huge thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I can...
Talk about it?
No, the problem is not talking about it, it's raising the money. So I can maybe...
Will it be made at home for you in Argentina?
In Argentina, yes.
Yes.
But it's a huge film, you know, for an Argentinian film, it's a little big, too big. It's a little too big. So maybe I will have to start from zero and write a new one. I don't know what to do next, so I will see.
Oh, will it be in the genre of sci-fi or horror or both?
Yeah, most sure. Yeah.
And Phase 7, I mean, I'm not sure of the actual financial side, but was that low budget, very low budget?
Very, very low budget. And I did it in 25 days, the shooting.
Wow,
so
okay.
It's very little time. It was very low budget. It looks like maybe it was the budget was smaller than it seems, you know.
Definitely.
But because we shoot in a real location, in a real building, the neighbors wanted to kill us at the end, but the owners of the building, they can't stand us anymore.
Yeah.
But it was very hard to make because we have very little money.
Very little money.
Yeah.
And now what happens to Phase 7 after Melbourne? It's doing La Morada. Where to next?
I don't know. The movie is going to be theatrical in the United States.
Oh, okay.
After that, it's going to be released on video on demand and DVD in the United States. There are a few festivals where the movie is going. I don't really know where. I know it's going to Korea to to Pifan Film Festival. Okay. I don't know what's next. I mean, United States is going to, there is going to be a theatrical release.
And it's bloodydisgusting.com. Let's pick that up.
Yeah, they bought it. They're going to show it for a month in the AMC theaters. After that, it's going to be on DVD. So
that's very positive. Yeah.
Very good.
And can you tell us just quickly as well about the shotgun scenes, those special effects? Were they hard to do? Or?
Well, some of the scenes were live made, and some of them I did it like in with computer in post-production. It was like, I tried to do it live. If it didn't work, I can help myself later with the computer. Yeah. But no, it wasn't the hardest thing to do. The hardest thing to do was the stairs, the scene at the stairs, because of the suits. They were very, very, very hot. It was summer, and the actors were inside of those suits.
And he had a bit of a beard as well.
Yeah, and up and down. Yeah. And the mustache was fake. So every time they take the mask off, the mustache, it was like a nightmare working with those suits. It was harder to work with the suits than with the shotgun, you know.
Are they still friends?
Yeah.
Good.
They say they are my friends.
But they're not answering your emails. No, just kidding. Well, finally, I just want to say it's been great to have you on the show tonight to talk about your film, your marvelous film, Phase 7.
Thank you very
much. I wish you all the best in the future. So go forth and prosper, and thank you for coming on to Sci-Fi and Scream, Nicholas Goldbart.
Thank you very much.
And if everyone's got time to see this film, they definitely should go to La Mirada, the film festival down at ACME here in Melbourne City, and see it for the closing night party. And it's going to be the feature film for that, playing Monday the 25th of April. So yeah, get along to that. And thanks for listening. This is Sonia on Sci-Fi Find Scream on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.